two best friends and comedy writers. If there's an answer, they're gonna find it. I think you'll have a great time here. I think you'll have a great time here.
So hello again and welcome to another episode of Quick Question with Soren and Daniel, the podcast where two best friends and comedy writers ask each other questions and give each other answers. I'm one half of that podcast, senior writer for Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, author of How to Fight Presidents, and installer of window air conditioner units, Daniel O'Brien, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Soren Bowie. Soren, say hi.
Hey everybody, I'm Soren Bowie. I write for American Dad. I guess at this point I'm a producer, but I don't really know because usually it says at the top of my scripts during the table reads, and we don't have those anymore because we're all sitting at home. I also have installed a window air conditioner.
Could you
in the last week?
Do you think? Oh, congratulations, man! That's fucking tight as hell.
Thank you. You too.
Did my smile read on
it
on
sure
mic?
Did.
I
sure
was.
Did.
That was not planned. I was genuinely happy to say that I installed those things out loud because I didn't know I was going to do it. I have this beach town. It's all window units. There's no central air here because the town is fictional and from the past.
Yeah.
And they're a thing that is my responsibility per my lease. When I want to install them, it's up to me to do it, whether I pay someone to do it or not. And I was nervous about doing it. I actually went to next door and asked for advice, just because like it's an old house and I've never done this thing before, and there's too many things that can get screwed up, and I'm also not like buying new units from the store and coming home with the package and all the instructions. These are the units that have lived in closets in this house for years.
Oh, okay.
So I went to next door and asked for advice, and someone said go to the town hardware store, and I went to the town hardware store, and they said,
and then you typed what next?
Yeah. And I went to visit the hardware store, and they're like, we used to offer that service, but all like the neighborhood kids we had doing it grew up and left. So we have no one who can do it now. We are too busy. We, the owners of this hardware shop, are too busy. And the only other people we would know are like licensed contractors. And I don't think you want to spend that kind of money. And I was like, no, I probably don't. And I was like, all right, I guess I'll keep looking around. Maybe I'll ask next door again. And the co-owner of the hardware shop, the woman, she was like, I think you can do it. And I was like, me? Little me? She was like, yeah, it's not that difficult. I think you can do it. I believe in you. Give it
was
a shot.
Like, show me your hands.
And it was really, all it took for me was just someone saying they believed in me, and I was like, I can do this. And then I woke up this morning and had time before work, and I just did it. I installed these units, and as far as I know, they work. We're going to see what happens if it gets rainy or windy, but I think I did it.
Do you have those little accordion things around
yes.
it to secure it?
Yeah.
That's the rub. Like, that's the tough part. Just slapping it in a window is pretty easy, it turns out. Thanks to Skillshare for supporting Quick Question. Skillshare empowers you. It's an online learning community that offers membership with so much more to explore, real projects to create, and the support of fellow creatives. Explore your creativity at skillshare.com/QQ and get a 1 month free trial.
I was nervous putting one of them in and like starting to screw it into the windowsill and feeling good about that. And then looking back in the closet and seeing like a whole other piece of like weatherproofing that I did not use. And I was like, oh no, I bet they included that for a reason.
I know what that's for.
Let me back up on this.
Well, did you ever figure out what it was for?
Do you put it on the top or the bottom?
The top. You put it, well, so if
it's
sliding,
on the window?
If it's a sliding window, there's usually like a piece of insulation or foam that for when the window is up to like allow this air conditioner to sit in the window, what's happening is that you're creating a gap in between the two panes at the top. And so you're just, you're like stuffing it in there.
Yeah. Copy.
You got it. Well, that's very exciting for you, Daniel. I'm glad that you did it. And I'm glad that you had windows that you could actually screw into the sill of, because I've got vinyl windows and realized too late that I can't do that.
Fortunately,
the one that I got has, it's got a channel. Instead of just being like a plate that sits on one side that you screw in. It's got essentially a channel. It's U-shaped, and the window sits perfectly inside of it. So the sill in the window, it's kind of like it locks into these little... it's just U-shaped, so like the window itself locks in there, and then it kind of holds it in place. As long as that we don't put the window up, you're fine. But it's not so secure that you couldn't just do that. You couldn't just like lift the window up further and let the whole thing fall out.
Right.
But I'm the only one using this room because it's in my garage, and my garage
this time of year. Was this in your like your podcast shed?
It's getting so hot, and I the other day I looked. Maybe I told you this. I looked around this room and I thought, why don't I just fucking make this nicer? Like, why do I live like this? I'm sitting here with like, I'm crowded in by paint cans and stain and a bunch of stuff, like old tiles that maybe I'll need for the backsplash in the kitchen at some point. And it's hot and I'm surrounded by wood and spiders. And I'm like, what if I just fucking stopped woodworking and put a couch in here?
Yeah.
Put something on the walls, do something.
Yeah, that's anytime I come back from a trip and I have a suitcase lying somewhere for weeks and weeks and weeks, and then I eventually finally pick it up and put it in the closet where it belongs, and I'm like, oh, I just made my life like noticeably better. I'm happier. I was under my control this whole time to just like fix a thing in my environment that was not bringing me any kind of joy. Oh, I see. I wonder if I should, yeah, I should probably clean other stuff too. Yep. Let's apply some of this logic to the bathroom too.
I just live like this. And it's and when your eyes finally open to that, you're like, "Oh shit. That's embarrassing." but yeah, the first step was obviously the air conditioner. That helps out a lot. Obviously not during recording. We can't have it on during that. But the times in between, ooh baby. Yeah.
Recording the podcast easily the warmest my body ever gets
in
any given week.
And that's saying something for you, I think.
Yeah, I run real hot.
I have a quick question for you before I get into like real quick questions here. Dan, are you good? You're still running a lot?
Yeah, I ran today.
And you're running, it's getting hot out there.
Yeah.
I'm familiar with Jersey heat.
Sí.
Yeah, hace calor.
Sí.
And that you're not having any problems with that? Like, you're not, like, coming home some days and, like, you just don't drink enough water, and then by the end of the day, you're like, oh, shit, this is bad. I got a really bad headache, and I my brain gets black when I stand up.
Well, a couple of things. It's cooler by the shore, famously. It's always cooler by the shore. A little bit, you get some ocean breeze. Two, I run in the mornings now.
Okay.
So it's a little bit cooler time of day. And I'm more in control of how much water I'm drinking. But three, yeah, it's like, it's, you know, it feels like a heavier run with the humidity.
Yeah.
I don't love it.
It gets stymie. And I think about, like, in LA, if you get near the water, there's an eternal breeze here. There's like the wind is, it whips in Venice, in Santa Monica, all up and down the coast. But I've been to, like, Ocean City. I've been to Seaside Heights. It stays pretty stagnant a lot of the time. I mean, you get a little breeze, but it's just muggy and hot.
Yeah. It'll get hotter, and then I know the feeling that you're talking about, where it's not even about hydration. It's just stepping outside and already being sweaty is bad. That's real bad news. It was a little bit of that. I was still running every day in Costa Rica. And even that was just like, I'm slower and this is less pleasant. And I wasn't like going for speed or distance, like any of my usual things. I'm just like, let me just run for 30 minutes and
just
then
see if I can get through this.
Like, let me not keep score. I don't need to know.
Yeah. It's an awful feel. I ran in Costa Rica as well. And first of all, you're just like, it's glistening. Mm-hmm. Like you've more sweat more than you thought possible. And then also, just trying to get air down. You're drinking it, essentially. It's just, you got to chew it to get it in your body.
Yeah. And I'm also wearing lots of sunscreen, and I'm super self-conscious. I don't want to get dengue, so I'm covered in bug spray, too. And it's just a whole suite of goo everywhere.
Now, this is a problem that I have, because it's getting hotter and sunnier here right now. And when I run, I got to wear some sunscreen. But inevitably, no matter what kind I get, it's going to end up in my eyes.
Yeah.
There's just like no avoiding it until some of my run is just like almost eyes completely closed. One squinting more than the other because the drops are closer and like just that awful sting. You dealing with that?
Oh, yeah. And it's one of those things that I've occasionally thought about going to Twitter about, but that's one of those questions that's way too frustrating because I want to come out, I want to engage with it authentically. And I want to say, I have tried as many sunscreens as I found to address this problem, and none of them worked. But I know I probably didn't try all of them. So like there's a chance that someone's going to give me the right answer that I haven't heard of. And so I'm asking you, Twitter, what are your tips for running with sunscreen and not getting it in your eyes? Please, please somehow know every sunscreen I've ever tried before answering. And then someone, I know myself well enough to not ask that question on Twitter because I've done similar things before. And someone's like, I like SPF 50 banana boat. You can get it at CVS. I'm like, you son of a fucking bitch. Everything you thought of, I've thought of already. I'm looking for the holy grail of sunscreen here. Don't talk to me about CVS. Don't talk to me about Amazon.
Yeah, but you're also in a position where like you can sweat through anything.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think they know it. You don't have that qualifier to give to other people, which is like, by the way, I can sweat through spirit gum.
Right. When I ask a broad question with a lot of obvious wrong answers to Twitter, I'm really looking for one other person who's been like, hey man, I saw footage of you sweating before. We are the same. I'm another one like you. You have to go to this doctor to get the sunscreen. That's the only place to get it. It's medical grade sunscreen.
That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for somebody who's like, this one is essentially glue. You put it on your face, as it dries, it completely hardens and cannot move ever again. And I'm like, yeah, that's perfect. That's what I need for my runs because it's just, this is untenable.
Yeah. I always bring questions like this up to a group like at work, and someone will be like, have you tried? Oh, I really like oil free. And it's like, you're my last resort. You have to, you need to assume that I did all of the things that you, a normal person, would do. We have the same brains.
Yeah. You know me. You know that I am a functional adult.
Yeah.
This isn't like a child asking you this question.
I didn't smear chocolate on my face and be like, that wasn't it. Any other tips? I made sure that I couldn't solve this problem myself first.
Right. Skillshare is an online learning community that offers membership with meaning. With so much to explore, real projects to create, and the support of fellow creatives, Skillshare empowers you to accomplish real growth. Skillshare can help make your 2022 a year of new learning, growth, and connection through creativity. Find your passion this year. What's stopping you? You got Skillshare. You got a month of it. Whether you're a dabbler or a pro or a hobbyist or a master, you are creative. Don't let anyone tell you differently. Discover what you can make with classes for every skill level. Experience real improvement with hands-on projects and classes designed for real life. They will give you tangible ways to think about your creativity and how to access it, how to utilize it to the best of your ability. Skillshare's entire catalog of classes now offers subtitles in Spanish, French, and Portuguese, and Dutch as well. So, I don't know how you're listening to this podcast, but if one of those is your language of choice, you can also do it through Skillshare. I've been taking Skillshare classes. I really have been enjoying the ultimate self-care playbook, Discover and Nurture Your Centered Self with Jonathan Van Ness. And the reason I got into this one was because a YouTuber named Laidback said that health is wealth. And I thought, I like the sound of that. Let's see if it's true. And now I've been taking better care of myself than I ever used to. And honestly, it does feel great. I'm genuinely enjoying the class. I find it very fun, and it's also good because I can come in at any level. I don't feel like he's talking over my head. I also don't feel like I have to just sit around and wait through a bunch of prerequisites that I don't actually need. You can come in at any level you want, and it's very, very helpful. So explore your creativity at skillshare.com/QQ and get a 1 month free trial. That's 1 month free at skillshare.com/QQ. Well, speaking of people who don't understand how functioning with other human beings works, I would like to do something on this podcast, Dan.
Cool.
That isn't a question.
Tight.
But it is something that I think I thought to myself, how do I get this out to the largest group of possible people? And of course, you know, I went through the usual things. I was like, I know there's a gazebo at my park. Could mm-hmm. I schedule something there? It just didn't feel big enough.
You couldn't book a spot on Zeitgeist or something?
Yeah. So like what I'm going to do is do it here on okay. this podcast. This is a public service announcement to solve a problem that I deal with every single week. And I think I've talked about it on the podcast before, but like, I really want people to spread the word on this because it's ruining my life. will you give me the space in yeah. which to do this? It's long.
That's great. I can't wait. Okay. I'm going to just sit back. I might go on mute.
All right. Well, let me just pull it up. I think it's easier if I just, I wrote it out so that I wouldn't get angry in the middle sure. of it.
Okay, then I won't go on mute. I'll just riff for a while to fill some time.
Dear parents. Dear parents, as the days grow warmer and longer and your children are home with you eternally, your thoughts might turn to outdoor activities that might, in turn, lead you to local parks. And that's fine. You will likely find that there are other children at those parks, and that as you help referee the complicated and strange social interactions between your children and others, here's a handy guide to ensure that you know how to interact with other parents so that you can fucking act right. Did you just gasp?
I did.
I understand that part of the draw of a park is that your child might play with other children, and just this once, just this one time, leave you alone, for God's sake, Liam. But understand that not every parent is doing the same thing there. Some of them might be playing with their children, and you'll recognize those people because your child and possibly three other kids have glommed onto that other parent in a starved craze for attention and acknowledgement. Now, this isn't to shame other parents. Everybody needs a break from their kids, but please pay the shit attention, because this person is not playing with your kid just because they love kids. They are essentially babysitting at this point and trying politely to avoid ever telling your child a devastating truth. No one wants to play with you for free. If your kid has attached to another family because the parents are playing a kick-ass game with their child, you have an obligation in that scenario. But what can I do? You might be screaming. It's awkward if I join the game now and two adults are playing with children. No, it's not awkward. It's totally fine for you to also play a game and lighten the load. Or you could say, want a breather? And offer the other parents some space, just occasionally. I realize it can be awkward to also try to pull your own weight in a game of imagination with another adult, particularly a creative powerhouse like me. Mm. But anything, any semblance of effort is better than sitting on a bench and watching another adult babysit your child. If you truly never find a foothold in the game or a way to get in the mix, that's okay. You can give it 5 minutes and then say something along the lines of, "All right, Annika, let's give our friends a little break." Or, "Come and have some water. Let's switch gears for a little bit and do something new, Hanathan." Or, "Hey, stranger, you just entertained my spittle-defiled, uncomfortably aggressive child for that past half hour. Thank you." Your child doesn't know the intricacies of social interaction, and it seems like maybe you don't either, because the situation you're forcing on other adults means that the next time they're at the park, they're going to try to be a buzzkill for their own kids so that they don't become an activity magnet. And then it's just an arms race between parents of who can do the least. And that's not a world I want to live in. Thank you for your time, and please be better.
All love, right. Well done. Yeah. Really great stuff. No notes. I texted you about this over the weekend. So you've ranted about this before on this podcast.
Yeah.
Surely. And I think in life, too.
In life.
Yeah. The version of this podcast that we did before it was a podcast, when we would just talk to each other at lunch.
Yes.
It had never happened to me until just recently. This last weekend, the thing that you complained about happened to me, and I really got it. Like, it wasn't, I was meeting one of my friend's babies, and my niece and nephew were also there. And so I was playing with them a lot, just like, and the game was essentially like, they're going to stand on the bench. I'm going to pick them up off the bench and pretend to throw them over the fence. They take turns doing that. We go back and forth. It's fun. Uncle was a great time. And as I was wrapping up this game with those two, some other boy who was at our party, who, first of all, I think this kid was like fucking nine. And I'm playing this pickup game with a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old. So the 9-year-old just like wordlessly appears standing on the bench like it's his turn. Doesn't introduce, doesn't ask if he can play. Just like, and now me, and now, hey, you, sir, pick me up and throw me over the fence as well. And I was just not having it. Part of it was like, you're a stranger. I don't feel comfortable with a stranger's kid. Like, where are your parents? Who's kid?
I'm not going to touch you.
Are you? We haven't met. Two, you're much heavier than the kids that I've been doing this with. And three, bro, you don't want me doing this either. Because when I'm playing with the other kids, there's blood there, and I don't want anything to happen to them. I don't care what happens to you. I don't have the same animal thing in me that is like, don't really throw them over the fence. Who knows? I might snap. You don't know.
Yeah. I just in like the last 2 days, I've dealt with this where at night after we eat dinner, I've been taking my daughter for a bike ride on the back of the bike, and we'll end up going to some park. And usually the park's pretty dead by that point because it's like 6:37. But there'll at least be one other kid. And still it happens where like this other kid, the other night we were at this park and this little girl came over to us. And she, when I say little, I mean, she was like 7 and my daughter is 2. And so like my daughter, I have to kind of keep an eye on in the park and play a little with her because she doesn't know how to do anything else. And she's like, she's going to take some reckless turns where she's like, fireman pole, let's try that. And I'm like, nah, it's not really your speed yet. And so I'm following her around and this other little girl comes up to me and she's like, my dad says it's okay if I play with you guys. And I was like,
Point to your dad. Which one's your dad?
Yeah, show me him. And he's like, it's just this dude sitting on the swings. So like hogging some space too, yeah, and just playing on his phone. Not acknowledging, not being like, hey, is that cool? Nothing like that. Nothing like that. Just like, oh, you see some people playing? Yeah, go play with them for a while.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, okay, great. And so I'm trying to play these games with my daughter, and this girl does not want to play the types of games a 2-year-old wants to play. She's like, now we play tag. And I'm like, no, because at this point, I'm just going to be playing with you. If I'm running around, she can't keep up with us. She doesn't even understand how tag works yet. It's just you and me playing at that point. And so then it was a lot of her being like, watch me, now watch me on the slide. Now watch me hang on this. Now do this. Now watch me. And me being like, yeah, I get, that's really good. And trying to like give her the bare minimum without being rude, being like, oh yeah, very nice. And then moving on. And it got to the point where I was like, this girl is hogging our space. And she was one of those kids who was just a little bit wet in the face where it literally like always makes me really nervous. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, we're going to go. It's time for your bath. It's definitely time for your bath. We're going to go home. And so like my daughter's crying because she doesn't want to leave the park yet. She knows the allotted time usually, and we're not giving it to her. And I'm like, you don't fucking understand. We got to get out of here. This kid sucks. And then last night I took her to the park again. This other little boy came up to us. We were playing a game where there's like serving windows all the time. These little windows at parks underneath the slides and stuff. And we always play this game where it's like, it's a restaurant. And she comes and she places an order, which is just blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, yeah, spaghetti and a kayak. You got it. And like, I'm just like finding these things in the back. I'm not a great server. I'm harried a little bit, and like, mm-hmm, bring her some food. I charge her $1 billion and she pays it happily. And that's the fun game. And so other kids see this happening and there's like an adult doing pantomiming and they're like, fuck yeah. And like, they're like in the game then too. And they want to play. And so like, they're like butting in front of her to be like, make me spaghetti, make me spaghetti. And you're like, oh fuck. No, this isn't for you. Like, I don't have to teach you how to do this kind of thing.
Right.
That's somebody else's job. We're not. And so I'll be like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And just like wave my hands around and be like, here's your spaghetti. And like, but you forgot to ask for money. And I'm like, it's free. Take it. Like, please just, anything to get out of this game. And like, all right, switch. Now I'm going to be the shop owner. Ah. I'm like, okay. All right. Gilly, do you want to order anything from them? No, she does not. She doesn't want to be around this child. Like, she's just like stares at these kids these older kids that try to play these games and are a little bit too like, don't know their own bodies yet. Like a puppy where they're just sort of like crashing into stuff with their torsos. Yeah. And so she's like, I don't want to do this. And I'm like, yeah, I don't either. Let's just get out of here. Let's leave again.
Why did we even come to this restaurant?
And this happened. And so like, I thought in the evenings I'd be safe, but it's just as bad. And it's like, I get it. It's fine. If your child like latches on with another kid, and it seems, first of all, watch that situation. Make sure that your kid is good in that situation, that they're having fun together.
Yeah.
And you're aware because you're an adult. And then if you see an adult playing with their child and like your child joins in that game, acknowledge it. Maybe like as a bare minimum, just acknowledge it. Look at the parent, be like, give them that look that says, you good? Yeah. Or like, can I do anything?
That's what got me curious. I was wondering if, and I feel like I know the answer, have you ever observed this from the other side where your kid clearly latched onto a hit dad or a hit mom with a hit game?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. At a birthday party, there was a dad that was like, there was a jumping castle and there was a dad throwing these really soft balls at the kids. And my son was way into it, like more so than the other kids. And was like throwing them back and like waiting to get hit again because he really isn't dodging these balls. Mm-hmm. So the dad's doing it a little bit and it seems like my son is really pulling the focus. So I went and did something about it. I was like, you want me to take over for a little bit? He was like, sure. And then I started doing it too. And then, you know, the kids will automatically hijack a situation like that. They'll be like, now both of you. And you have to, there you say, no. That's not how the game works. It's one adult doing this. Right. And that's fine. And then you can start alternating. And it's like, that's all good too. But it's baffling to me that a parent could look at another parent playing with their kid for, you know, anywhere from like 15 to 45 minutes and be like, God, that person really likes kids.
Yeah.
That person really likes playing with my child.
Oh man, it's good this park had a guy like that. I wish more parks had a guy like that. That's great.
I'm really catching up on my news. Yeah, it makes me so mad. And I know, like, there are now times where, you know, I go to the park, I can think of a fun game that I could play with Ronan, but I'm like, look, you just have to be cool for a second till the kids leave, and then we can play that game. Otherwise, we're not playing it.
We can start playing it. Act like you're not having fun. Just do it. Just pretend it's just okay. We both know it's great. We both know I rule at games, but just like, as long as there are other people around, pretend this is the lamest thing in the world.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, Colleen, she's really, to her credit, she's great at this too. She's great at playing games. She's good at noting when her child is a burden to somebody else. And she will even be like, I mean, you come up with really fun games. That's the problem. I'm like, yeah, because I'm trying to like, this is for me too. I want to be able to enjoy this time. It doesn't have to be begrudging the entire time that you're hanging out with your kid. Like I'm not going to come up with some stupid bullshit game and then have to play that. Why would I rope myself into that? I'm going to come up with something rad and we're both going to play it and enjoy it. So I just get so heated about it.
I hope that PSA does something for you. I hope that, at least makes your neighbors really weird around you.
I'll say that I really like my neighbor's kids. I really lucked out in terms of our neighborhood. There's not one that I'm like, this fucking kid again. Yeah. They're all great. when we have these like Friday night block parties, I'm into it. I'm into like bouncing around between the groups of kids. And that actually helps too, is that there's like, not all the kids are the same ages. They don't want to do the same things. You can kind of like hang out with group of kids for a little bit and be like, are you guys playing Ghost in the Graveyard? I'll play one round with you. And then you're like, okay, now I'm going to go push these two around in a scooter or on a little buggy. And it's wonderful. It's like the best thing in the world. And the other parents are doing it. I just don't get it at parks, man.
I was very happy and very lucky to have a bunch of family visit the beach house all together for the first time this past weekend. And it's really great having, there was just three kids in the house, two nephews and a niece, and just really great, like, you know, I have this house that's close to the beach so I can have lots of family come and visit, but it's for someone who has lived alone since 2008, it's always very strange when anyone else is in your home for an extended period of time. Not even like in the moment, like when everyone's there, I'm being present and enjoying everyone. But then when they're gone and I'm cleaning up, I know where everything in the house is supposed to be at all times. And kids obviously don't know and don't care, and they shouldn't. It's a chill beach house, do whatever you want. But just my brain immediately recognizing like, the pillow that says beach that is normally on this couch is not on this couch. where's the pillow that says beach is in the bathroom? It's like the things that get moved in strange places that are like very casual kid things for me is just like, well, I guess I've been robbed.
Yeah. It's funny because when you have your own kids, they learn it tacitly. Like you don't even have to tell them really. They just sort of like, these are the things, these things have always been in this room and they love the pattern of it. But when new kids come to your house, it's lawless. Like yeah. They're going to do things in your house where you're like, why the fuck is the exercise ball downstairs?
Yeah.
It stays upstairs.
I have like the main room with board games and TV, and I have a guest room on this first floor and the kitchen and bathroom on the first floor. And then the second floor is my bedroom and the other bedroom. And they're like easily the least fun places in this house. And I had like games and treats for my nieces and nephew. And as soon as I opened the door, my nephew bolts upstairs to my room and starts jumping on the bed. I was like, oh, I don't even know if I fucking cleaned that place. I didn't think that's where you were going to go.
Yeah. That pisses me off. But like, there's people that come to my house and their child has decided to go into my room where I'm like, surely that's off limits. That's
I get limits. It. I recognize that it's very interesting. That it's just yeah. like, I want to see where uncle sleeps.
Yeah.
That's like a reasonable thing for a 4-year-old to be curious about.
Of course.
And something that I will keep in my brain now is like, oh yeah, he doesn't know that that's like where I recharge my batteries and, and where I keep my important files.
Yeah. Yeah. And in those situations, I'll tell the kid, I'll be like, oh no, we don't, this room's off limits or whatever. Or like shut the door. But in the moments that they're in there and like they're like jumping on the bed, there is part of me that like looks to the other parent like, you're the police here. You're the one who has to tell them this. No. And like that's the same thing at parks. It's like there's kids, everybody's got their own boundaries and like what's acceptable. We all kind of have this scatter plot of like what basically we're all kind of circling around. Like we think this is how you should live and like how you should interact with other humans.
Yeah.
But when like there's no other parent there and it's your job to do it with this child, I panic in that situation where they're like, and now no, I'm going to climb on the outside of the jungle gym. Yeah. Climb on the outside of the jungle gym. Watch me. Now I'm on the outside. I'm 3 stories up in the air. Now I'm going to go on the roof of it. And you're just like, I'm going to pretend I didn't hear you say watch me because because now I don't want to be liable in this situation.
Right. And you can't. I don't know very much about kids, but I don't know what honesty you can get if you were just like, now, before I say yes to this, would your parents let you climb on the outside of this thing? Are your parents cool with you doing that awesome stuff that you described? They are.
Okay.
All right.
We went to the beach recently, and there was a child that came over to our tent immediately. We have a cool tent. I respect that.
Cool.
But came over to our tent and then started playing with our sand toys. And I was like, we're not playing with them right now. That's fine. But the mom came over, and she's like, oh, don't do that. That's not yours. But that was it. And the kid obviously knew that was going to be it because he just did not listen at all. And then he got up with his sandy, gross-ass feet and walked through my tent on the towels.
Oh.
And she was like, that's not yours. That's not yours. But like stayed 15 feet away, didn't try to move over to like grab him or anything like that. She's like, that's not yours. Those aren't your snacks, honey. Stop eating those. Stop eating those. Those aren't your snacks. And then just like letting it play. Yeah. And I was like, you have to do more. I'm not going to pick your child up in front of you. I don't know what the rules are around that. I'm not going to do it. You have to rush into that situation and be like, I'm so sorry. I know that this is a breach.
Yeah.
I will remove him from the situation. Also, he had shit and he stunk. And like, I wanted to be like, I was like, hey, I think one of our kids maybe needs a diaper change. I'll check mine. Like out loud. Like, yeah. It's not mine. And they're like, oh boy. Okay. And then just like letting it sit there and marinate.
Yikes.
And I was like, what? Do something. Do something, please. You're ruining our day.
I have to amend what I said. It was 4 kids, 2 nieces, 2 nephews.
Oh, that's, are they all like around the same age?
No.
Okay.
Oldest is 10, youngest is 2. But they all play together and they're all fantastic. And it's just great and such a joy.
That's wonderful.
One of the nieces, just because we were talking about games with kids, she is the most down to play. And any game in the world that you want to play, as long as like you're doing it with her, she will commit to it and she loves it. Even a thing we played, which wasn't even like academically a game, I don't think, but we were on the beach and I found some like a mix of shells and rocks and some brick that I just happened to find.
Yeah.
And they weren't even like nice shells. You would be so disappointed with the quality of rocks that I had. But I just like laid them out like, hey, look at this. Look at these rocks. And she was like, I'll help you find more. And she just like very diligently fulfilling this impossible assignment of just like things that please uncle. And he's like, look, here's another shell. I'm like, oh yeah, definitely put that shell with those other shells. Oh, that rock is great. What is that like? Black? Ah, tight. Put it over here in this pile. And just like doing that for minutes and minutes and minutes. Just after a lot of games that involve picking up and throwing kids, it was great to be like, yeah, this is good. In this game, you were the happiest, easiest person to work with in the world. And I am your foreman, I guess. And you bring me the rocks and treats.
That's the, when kids are like, the fun for the kid is being helpful. There's nothing better.
Oh my God.
When they're into the game of like being helpful is like, as long as they're not being bossy. Oh, it's the best. I went to Target with my children. And as a policy, my wife and I never try to go anywhere alone with our two children where we have to get some shit done. Mm-hmm. And occasionally it happens just because of circumstances. But like, I took both of them to Target to do some shopping and they both got in the cart and I know how this game goes. I know that like what's going to happen is eventually Ronan's going to want to get out because he sees something cool and it doesn't have to be the toy section. It's like he sees a lamp and he's like, yes, I need to touch it. And then Gilly will want to get out too. And so what I do is I try and like come up with reasons for them to stay in the cart. And this time I was like, Ronan, will you just try and help me get Gilly to stay in the cart? And he was like, yes. Like the power that I gave him in his eyes, it was just like glistening. And so they did this thing where they were scratching each other's, but they take turns scratching each other's backs in the cart. Excellent. And so like they take up all the room. So I had to cram everything underneath, but it was just worth it because the entire half an hour that I was in this Target, both my children were just quiet, scratching one another's backs and then being like, okay, my turn. And not like trying to take too much of a turn. Nobody's getting greedy. It was all fair. It was like, they were awesome. And I was like, yeah. Whatever you want now, I reward you. Like this is whatever you should do this forever. Whatever I can do to give you right, whatever I can give you right now that ensures that you think this is good behavior, do it.
Right. I had a quick question for you, Soren.
Yeah, go ahead.
You're taking a trip today?
Yeah.
Is it a vacation trip?
We're going to see Ronan's cousins.
Oh, fun.
These are like, they're all grouped in a very tight age range where he's in the middle. There are two on either side. His two cousins are on either side of him. And the two cousins, obviously their brother and sister, they're so close in age that they fight all the time. But Ronan becomes the glue in that situation where Ronan gets in there and like, it's a whole new kid. And suddenly you see your sibling in a new light and they just have so much fun together. It's great.
Yeah. So my question is about travel and vacations because I famously was just in Costa Rica. And as we were wrapping up that trip, to make the sting of leaving it feel a little bit not as bad, we went back and forth asking each other what things about home you miss. What surprising things are you most excited to get back to when you're on vacation?
That's a good idea.
Yeah. It was both like a good thing for us as we're driving the 3 hours to the airport and also like illuminating for me to really think about because my answers were I'm like obviously there's like family and house stuff and just like comfortable settings but I was most surprised that I was like I miss my disgusting gym and all the horrible people in it. I want to go to my gym again and work out where they spit on the floors. And my other answer was I miss the horrible fucking salads that I make for myself every day for lunch. I think part of it is routine and part of it is like we weren't being unhealthy in Costa Rica or anything like that, but I wasn't eating salad anywhere.
Right.
And I was like, I want to sit and eat one of my stupid salads that I hate making. And then I want to go to the gym, which is a place that I know I feel better after I go there. And it's like a thing that is so baked into my routine at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I have a lot of memories like that where I'm in a foreign country and like what I miss the most. And it is all frequently surprising. The main one is always turkey sandwiches. Like that anywhere else I go in the world, they just haven't solved that riddle yet. They don't understand how to make like a really good sub. And there's so that's so I realize what a staple that is in my life, that like I know where the best sandwich shops are around me at any given time because I like sandwiches so much. And when they can't have a turkey sandwich for a week or a month or whatever, it's like, fuck, I really fucking miss that shit. The other one is peanut butter. I didn't realize how much peanut butter I actually eat until I would go abroad. And so like especially in Europe, England, they've got it. But if you go through like France and Spain and Italy, they don't eat peanut butter any of those places. It's like if you wanted to find peanut butter, sometimes they have it in a grocery store and it's in the protein aisle. It's in like with the meats. It's like a meat substitute. And for people who don't have teeth. And so nobody's just eating it recreationally there. It's like that's a chore. And
right. Is that an America's bad thing because peanut butter is unethical to produce?
I don't know that that's why it didn't catch on in Europe. I don't think that that's probably the reason, because at this point, there's obviously ways to do that. You can, there's different like oils you can use that are fine. But it is weird that they just don't, it never caught fire anywhere else. And in fact, I had peanut butter. I'd found some when I was in Spain, ate it, and then ran out of money when I was in Italy and was just eating peanut butter for a while. And then when I got back to the Channel, which is like the where you go from Paris to England, there was a homeless guy in the Channel, and he was just in the station. He was like asking for money, and I was like, dude, I promise I don't have any money, but I have like a quarter of a jar of peanut butter. And it was like this man was about to cry. He was like, I haven't had peanut butter forever. I was like, me too. So I gave him my peanut butter. But that's one. And then just having television that I understand, like it's not a chore to understand, because it's how I really recharge.
Yeah.
Even if it's news, it doesn't matter what it is. I need to just watch something and it for just wash over me.
Yeah.
And I don't have to work to understand what's going on.
Right. I'm going to have my morning coffee and I'm going to watch Jeopardy on DVR, including the local commercials. That's part of it.
Yeah, exactly. Oh man. Local commercials. Even now I'm missing local commercials.
Yeah. I remember one of the times we went to Montreal for Just for Laughs, getting on the plane home, and like the whole plane ride home, Michael Swaim, our friend, was so tense, and I didn't know if it was a flying thing, and I talked to him about it afterwards, and it's because there were still people either behind or across from him who, because this is Montreal, they were speaking French. They were talking to each other in French the entire time because they speak French in Montreal. Mm-hmm. And Michael was just at his wit's end where this will sound more xenophobic than it was, or I think he intended it to be. But he got off the plane, he was talking about it, and he was like, I can't hear it anymore. We were going back to America. And just like the idea of hearing another language, which is like, no, I did 4 days of this, and then we're done. Now I'm on a plane, and I need everyone to sound like I sound.
Yeah. I understand that impulse. The minute you get on a plane and like the flight attendant is speaking in a language that you understand, you're like, oh my God, I'm going home.
Yeah. Once I got off the plane from Costa Rica and I saw a guy at customs and I said, hola. And he was like, what are you, a fucking asshole? I was like, oh, that's right. That's right. Back home now.
Certainly in Jersey. Yeah. What a terrible place to say hola to somebody.
Speaking of Jersey and Costa Rica, and then we could probably wrap this up. We were in Costa Rica and exploring some waterfalls, and we came upon this foursome, a group of people, four of them. And I had my phone in a waterproof lanyard around my neck, and I we came upon this group, and I said, hola, because I was saying that to everybody, because you don't want to assume. And I said, hola. And this girl looks at the lanyard, and she goes, that's so fucking smart. Where'd you get that? Does your hotel give that to you, or you bring that from home? And it like took all of my self-control to not say, what part of New Jersey are you from? Because it was just like an immediate, instant reaction. And they're from Long Island, so it was close enough.
Yeah, I mean, just like, and like, you're like, the camaraderie you feel with.
Yeah.
The minute
it's very
you...
fun, like, overhearing people where someone's like, yo, is that water cold? Nah, fuck no. I'm like, hey, are we cousins?
Being in a foreign country and even seeing somebody with a shirt that says, like a shirt you get on a boardwalk, it's like a squirrel that says, protect your nuts. And he's just like a squirrel with a stick with some acorns behind him. You're like, ha ha, what? Did we used to hang out in Ocean City? Do I know you from my childhood?
Well, that about wraps it up for this episode. I know you got a plane to catch. Very excited for you. The show is Quick Question, but you knew that already. We are recorded, edited, and produced by the irreplaceable Gabe Harder. But this week, he was replaced by Jacob. Jacob, as I recall, Jacob does not want you to find him on social, so I will not include that information. Our theme song is by the incredible Me Rex. Their digital album is available at merex.bandcamp.com. You can find us on Twitter as a show at @QQ_SorenAndDan or me at @DOB_INC, Soren at @Soren_LTD. You can email the show QQ with Soren and Daniel @gmail. And you can find us on Patreon where you can support, and we will answer questions from you, the listeners, once a month.
Yeah, that sounds right. Something like that.
Yeah, I genuinely don't know.
We just do it. So we do it when we're told to do it.
Yeah.
We are not in charge here. No. And I don't know if the mask has slipped at this point, but Dan and I are not in charge.
It's really, I would say, the person who most effectively manages this podcast is Gabe Harder, our engineer who is impossible. Like, this doesn't get recorded. And I don't even just mean, like, because he knows how the equipment works. We will not schedule a recording. Soren and I, left to our own devices. We just won't do it. We know we have to do it every week or every 2 weeks, but we just, like, we both sit quietly letting time go by, thinking, like, maybe we can all, if no one says anything, maybe we can all pretend we forgot. Yeah. And it's no one's fault. And then Thursday we'll roll around and Gabe will be like, guys, do you need to record an episode of the show? And we're like, yes.
Thank you. Why did you tell the teacher about the homework, Gabe?
Oh, shout out to Gabe. Thanks for running our business, I guess. Yeah.
All right, bye.
Bye.
I've got a quick question for you. All right, I want to hear your thoughts. I want to know what's on your mind. I've got a quick question for you. All right, the answer's not important. I'm just glad that we could talk tonight. So what's your favorite? How did you get? If there's an answer, they're gonna find it. I think you'll have a great time here. I think you'll have a great time here.